Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have open lines right now at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. My name is Bob Christopher. Richard Piper is here, and we welcome to our broadcast today Andrew Farley, Dr. Andrew Farley, the author of the best-selling book, The Naked Gospel. And Andrew, welcome to the program, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Bob. Great to be with you guys again.
Well, we're talking this month about the resurrection, and this is what the gospel is all about, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we see it really in practical application in one of the most well-known verses in the Word of God. It's Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I tell you, I like the fact that God is a gift giver.
Yes.
And he has given to us eternal life in Christ Jesus. But this verse really spells out the problem of man and why the resurrection is really the central issue of the Christian faith, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you think about the average person's view of our problem. The average person, even a believer perhaps, might say, well, you know, Bob, our issue is that we've got bad behavior, we've got sins, we've got a conduct issue, and God is displeased with our conduct. He's displeased with our behavior. We have a sins issue. And as true as that is, there's a deeper issue. It goes beyond behavior. It goes beyond conduct, attitudes, and actions. It goes much deeper to the issue of death. We have a death in Adam. And what real Christianity is getting restored to us what we lost in the Garden of Eden. They ate an apple, they ate of the fruit of that tree, and that was their action. But what really occurred was that deeper problem. They, in that day, they died. They lost life. So Jesus Christ is giving back to us what we lost in Adam. He's giving back to us what we lost in the Garden of Eden. So we can have a lot of fun at church services. We can have a great time reading a book, the Word of God, inspired by God Himself. Nevertheless, it's not primarily about a book and a building. It's about the author of that book coming to live inside of us and giving us that life. So, you know, back in the Garden of Eden, there weren't any church services. There weren't elders. There weren't deacons. There wasn't anything that we call church. There was just God inhabiting man. And that is the essence of what Jesus restores to us. It's great that we come together to celebrate as the body of Christ, but individually we each need to know that the moment we receive Christ, we receive His life, and we start once again functioning like humans were originally intended to function, with the life of God in us.
Yeah, and the good news about receiving the life of Christ, receiving this free gift of God, is once you've received it, it's yours eternally.
Yeah, yeah.
You can never lose it. I mean, Adam and Eve, they were created fully alive in the garden, and they were able to choose death. But we come into this world dead spiritually. And when we choose life, when we believe the gospel and receive the very life of Christ, that's a permanent and a forever transaction. Once we're made alive in Christ, we're alive in Christ forever. And that's why it's called life everlasting, life eternal. But there's also a quality of life about that. It's actually getting to know God the Father and Jesus Christ, whom He sent. It's a quality of life that is tied to this relationship that we now have with God through Jesus Christ the Son. So the problem of man is the fact that we're dead spiritually. The solution that God has provided for us is life life in Jesus Christ, and that is his free gift. It's interesting, there's a big church here in the Dallas area, and they do a lot of advertising and that sort of thing, and they're talking about Easter and the fact that this whole message is so that we can receive forgiveness of sins. And certainly that's a big part of the gospel message. When we receive Christ, we receive forgiveness of sins. But as we learned right here in this particular verse, we need much more than forgiveness of sins. And that's why the resurrection is so important and why Jesus made such claims as this, "I've come that you might have life and have it to the full." That's the real problem. We're dead and we need life. And here's this solution. It's called the free gift of God that is given to us through faith in Jesus Christ. So, Andrew, thanks for those keen insights. You are listening to Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here. Andrew Farley is here as well. And we invite you to join us on today's broadcast at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. If you have a question about salvation, about the gospel, exactly what the gospel is, if you have a question about how this gospel is practically lived out in your day-to-day experience, we invite your call right now, 844-322-2742. Well, Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We come to you because we have many partners that have joined with us who give on a monthly basis. If you would like to partner with Basic Gospel and help deliver this message out into the world, this simple, clear-cut message of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, we would love for you to join the Basic Gospel team. And you can do that by going to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button and follow all the instructions there. And we would love to partner with you in this gospel of Jesus Christ and to say thank you for your partnership. We have a wonderful resource for you this month. It is called Resurrection Power. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is the same power that's available to you in your day-to-day walk with him. So request your copy of Resurrection Power. Well, 844-322-2742 is the number. We would love to hear from you. And, guys, let's go down to Temple, Texas, and talk to Duran. Hi, Duran.
Hi, Bob. How y'all doing?
We're doing well. How are you today?
I'm doing well. You know, for the last couple of days, the water baptism has been popped up in my mind, and I've been thinking about it, and I've been thinking about the teachings of Jesus. Or what he said. Oh, I know what John said. I'll baptize with water, but the one coming after me will baptize by the Spirit. See, now when I get out these scriptures, is that it's the Holy Spirit that baptizes us. You know, when Jesus said, "Whoever believes and is baptized." Well, the question is, what baptizes you? The Spirit of God. It places you in the body of Christ. That is spiritual baptism. And I'm thinking, and the confusion is people think it's about water, but it's not about water. The water, that was a shadow. But so the reality has already come now, which the Spirit baptizes you.
Yeah.
And
Duran, did you have a particular question about that? You know, what is the purpose of water baptism? Or
Well, I forgot the purpose. I was confirming with you. Because the scripture says there's one Spirit, one baptism.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, let's jump in and talk a little bit about that. We've just read the verse about the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Where does spiritual baptism fit into that? Does it fit into that? Is water baptism essential for salvation? I know that's a big question that many people have. So what does the Word of God say about water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, well, you know, Jesus himself in John 3, he says that there must be a person who is born of water and of the Spirit. And so that's where I think the source of this confusion comes from. The assumption is, Jesus means, you know, we've got to be water baptized and Spirit baptized. Well, that's not at all what he means. When he says born of water, that has nothing to do with water baptism. The very next verse says flesh gives birth to flesh. So the first birth that he's talking about there, Duran, is a flesh birth, if you will, a birth from mom. I mean, after all, we are in a sack of water for 9 months, and that's how we are born of water. And then the second birth would be our spiritual birth into Christ Jesus. So those are the two births that Jesus is talking about, and of everything that is said in the four Gospels, guys, I think this John 3 passage is the one that is most misunderstood, twisted, and people start thinking that water baptism is essential for salvation. I mean, there is a baptism that is essential for salvation, but as we've said, that's because, you know, it's a spiritual baptism. You start out in Adam, and you have to be placed in Christ. You start out in the flesh, and you have to be placed in the Spirit. So Romans 8 says, you are no longer in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So every Christian has the Spirit of God in them, and therefore every Christian has been taken out of the flesh and put in the Spirit. Every Christian has been taken out of Adam and placed into Christ. We don't always walk like we should. We don't always walk by the Spirit, but we are in the Spirit. That is our permanent location. That is our new geography, and it is a beautiful place to be, guys. So, Duran, I hope that helps. I hope that's an encouragement to you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Well, good. Good. Well, thanks for your call today.
Yes, indeed. That's always a question that people get confused with, and it's nice to be able to bring some clarity to folks about that. And so we appreciate that. There may be others out there with questions similar to Duran's. We certainly invite you to call right now at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We had a call that came in from Jonathan in Pennsylvania, and we're going to listen to that right now.
Hey, guys. This is Jonathan. I'm calling from Chambersburg, PA. Just wanted to let you know, longtime listener, really appreciate what you guys do. You offer a lot of uplift and hope for a lot of people out there, and I'm really just glad my wife and I, we really appreciate what you guys do. Just wanted to call and ask, is there any chance we could get a little extra prayer from you guys? Having some family emotional issues here lately, and just, you know, felt the Lord moving to call and ask if there's any way you guys could include us in your prayers, and we really just appreciate it. And again, we thank you so much for what you guys do. God bless you guys. Bye-bye.
We always like hearing from our listeners, and, you know, life throws all kinds of things at us, and we can certainly, feel the weight and the pressure of that, and it can start to mess us up, disturb us on an emotional level as well. So this is a common thing, and we certainly need to be praying for one another and encouraging one another to, you know, continue in this walk of truth, because truth is the very thing that will set us free from any bondage that we're in. It set us free from our bondage to sin and death, and it can certainly set us free from emotional bondage and all those other bondages that we experience just living in this world. So, Jonathan, we thank you for that request, and I'll just say a prayer. And dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much that as members of the body of Christ, as children of God, we have this opportunity to pray to you, to pray for one another, to lift each other up in prayer, and we thank you for Jonathan and his request, and we know that you know all about that, and so we just entrust that situation to you. We also pray for others out there in the audience that who are suffering. They may be in some emotional pain. They may have struggles in relationships, and there could be all sorts of things that they're going through. That's just the life that we live in this world, and I pray that you will be the guard of their minds, and that you will give them peace that passes all understanding. And we just thank you for this great opportunity to lift these things up to you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, guys, one of the things, as I heard Jonathan leave his message for us, you know, it just reminds me that there is an enemy out there who seeks to steal and kill and destroy, and nothing could be more so than in our family life. And you think about marriage and kids and the family relationships we have. The enemy's goal is really to get us to think that, you know, we are each other's opponents. The husband becomes, you know, he starts to believe that his wife is his opponent. The wife begins to believe that the husband is the opponent. And the same with children. And, you know, the family dynamic is disrupted. And what we really need to recognize is, wait a minute, we are on the same team. We are together. And we share a common enemy called sin. And that power called sin is going to try to tempt us with these first-person singular thoughts. You know, I, me, my husband is this. I need this. I need to be treated better. I deserve. And we start believing lies in some cases. And, you know, our relationships are really disrupted by these lies. So to me, one of the biggest things I feel like we as believers are learning, we don't know any details, of course, about Jonathan's issue, but in general, across families, Christian families around the world, when the enemy comes to accuse us and steal and kill and destroy, he wants us to forget that we're on the same team, that if we're in Christ and our spouse is in Christ, that is where we get our identity. That's where we get our unity. We get our unity from Jesus. And in fact, we need to understand, you know what, that's not my spouse doing that. That is the power of sin operating in and through them, but that is not their heart. That is not their intent. That is not who God made them. And I think that just understanding not only our identity in Christ, but our loved ones' identity in Christ, the identity of those around us, that message alone can help us through a lot of stressful times.
Yes, they can. Thanks for those keen insights. We certainly appreciate that, Andrew. Always good practical stuff from you.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Let's go. We have another call on the line, so let's listen.
My question is, what does the New Covenant say concerning divorce? If a person is divorced and they both remarry someone else, and then later in life, neither one of them are married anymore through death and also through divorce, is it legal through the New Covenant for them to remarry, or is it still forbidden? I appreciate your answer. Thank you.
I love how she phrased that. Is it legal through the New Covenant? It's kind of an interesting phrase, isn't it, Guy? So, what's the answer to her question? And I think we have an opportunity to hear to go a little bit deeper than what she's wanting to hear from us. You know, can she get remarried to her first mate after all this other water has gone under the bridge?
Or to some other mate.
Yes.
I mean, how many times can you be remarried?
Yes. So what's the answer to this?
Well, you know, my take on it to get the ball rolling here, guys, is that, you know, first we need to know we don't get our righteousness from our marital status. You know, when we bring out the legal language, it shows that we're trying to figure out, is it right, is it legal, or is it wrong, and will I be in trouble? And that sort of verbiage, you know, we really need to understand our righteousness in Christ does not come from our marital status. So when you look at the spirit of what Paul is telling the Corinthian church, we need to understand it's not about tablets of stone at that point, as he is giving advice on marriage and singlehood and divorce and being a widow and those sort of matters. Here is the thrust of his entire argument. There's trouble in this world, and I want to spare you that trouble. So here's his advice. If you're single, don't be looking to be married. Don't be looking for greener pastures. If you're married, don't be looking to get divorced. If you're widowed, don't be looking to get remarried. If you're in this situation or that, don't seek to change your circumstances, and here's the key, in hopes of things getting better because our hope is in Jesus Christ. It is not in a marital status. So how many times have we been tricked and duped into thinking, oh, if I could just get this circumstance changed, then my life would be deeper, more meaningful, and better. And then we get what we think we want, and lo and behold, this world is still full of trouble. So my point there is we need to rest in our righteousness. We need to know that our rightness with God does not come from our marital status. There is a lot of garbage out there. You know, people are telling Christians that if you have ever had a divorce and ever gotten remarried, then you are a perpetual adulterer. And that language is becoming more and more pervasive. And it, honestly, it makes me sick because, it makes me think of what the scripture actually says. You may have been those things at one time, but you were washed, you were justified, you were sanctified. That is your identity. You, no matter what your behavior is, you stand as a washed, justified, and sanctified saint in Jesus Christ. And we don't get our rightness from our marital status, do we?
No, we don't. And and once we understand that, then we can approach these issues and these situations from a different perspective. So the natural human tendency is to come up with law-based solutions. So if something goes wrong, we want a law to regulate against that so it won't happen again. If there's a possibility of happiness, we want to make sure that it's legally right, so God will put his rubber stamp on it. But once we understand our righteousness in Christ, we can actually start thinking about these things from a grace-based perspective. And in that grace-based perspective, we can actually gain some wisdom. So Paul said everything is permissible for us, but not all things are beneficial. So the real question about these things that face us, is this beneficial? Do I need some wisdom? Is it wise to move forward in this particular situation? And that's where you need to lean on the Holy Spirit and allow him to lead you in these day-to-day or sometimes life-changing opportunities for you, from single to marital status. So rest in the fact that you are a child of God, that you have been declared righteous in the sight of God, and then lean into the Holy Spirit and ask for his wisdom, knowing that you're free, but knowing that he's going to lead you down the path that's going to be most beneficial to you and to those that are involved. So we hope that helps. We certainly appreciate your question on that today. Do we have a quick email question that we can?
Yes. There's a statement that's going around that if we knew what God knows, we wouldn't change a thing. In other words, everything that we encounter in life, God has allowed. How would we react to that statement?
Yeah, well, I mean, has God allowed it? Obviously, I think the answer is yes. God allows these things. You know, planet Earth is coming at us a million miles an hour. There's all kinds of flaws, death, DNA flaws, disease, trouble, stress, people who hate us and reject us. And that's just part of what planet Earth brings. But the promise is not that God's going to remove those, but that Christ is in us and working through us in the midst of everything.
Yeah, that's our great hope.
Yes.
It always goes back to Jesus Christ. And boy, God allows things because he's placed us in this world, but he's also given us Jesus, and we have new life in him. So let's embrace that and recognize that he has overcome the world. And so with that, we have victory here and now. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you so much for being a part of today's broadcast. Andrew, thank you as always for being a part with us today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, we look forward to being with you again next week. Tomorrow we'll have another live edition. We invite you to join us then. If you have questions, write those down. And be sure to call us at 844-322-2742. Also, if you're interested in daily encouragement, we offer a daily devotional to you. You can sign up for that at basicgospel.net. Well, this is Bob Christopher, and for Richard and Andrew and for the entire Basic Gospel team, we say thank you for joining us today, and we'll look forward to seeing you again tomorrow at this same time. So long.